Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Saturday, August 15th, 1998. In the Koinonia Creekside building this morning, we have Louise Williams. Her session number is 98-4, and the title is Spirituality 101, Like a Little Child. Let's listen in.
And I would like to welcome all of you to this session. It was going to be a little bit of an experiment because I was hoping to have a few children here, but that's all right. We'll just let the child within us take over here. I am Louise Williams. I'm from Valparaiso, Indiana. I'm executive director of the Lutheran Deaconess Association, and I teach part-time in the theology department at Valparaiso University. And I've been doing this series this weekend that I call Spirituality 101, which is just kind of basic stuff on parent spirituality. And I usually do, in that section, a little piece on what we can learn from children, pay attention to the children as a way to nurture our spirituality. And I thought I would try an experiment this morning by inviting some children to come. But as I said, let the child again take over. And maybe Amanda will have something to teach us. I was going to ask this of the children, but I think maybe I'll just ask all of us. Has anybody been reminded of God already today? Yes? Does anybody want to share what that might be like so
far? We went on a hike this morning, okay, and just looking up at the beautiful mountains.
All right, that's a good one here, isn't it? Okay, going on a hike, anybody else?
Yes, I think the text study was very meaningful.
Oh, the text study, I was able to be part of it. That's really good stuff. Anybody
else? I was reminded of that in the text study also, because she talked about divisions and families, and how believers become a family, mm-hmm. and that just so happened in our church. We are a family. Mm-hmm. There's
anyone else? Okay. Well, what I want us to think about this morning is how we can learn from the children and what they have to teach us about spirituality. And a lot of what I'm drawing from is a little book by Jean Gill that was published a number of years ago by Paulus Press called Unless You Become as Little Children. And the way I would like to get at this is not through my presentation this morning, but just to start with some discussion. And when you think about attitudes, behaviors that that are important for us in our spiritual life, and in nurturing that spiritual life, I wonder if you can think of things that you know that are qualities that children have, or mm-hmm. things that children can teach us about that. What do you think?
Faith.
Faith. Okay.
Delight.
Okay, delight.
Lack of a schedule that you have to live by.
Okay. A schedule.
Inquisitiveness.
Now, see, you get these big words in when you get up here like this. I don't remember how to
spell. Q-I-S.
Q-U-I-S.
Ooh, is it I or A?
It's I.
Okay,
I-T-I-V-T.
We'll just leave it like that.
Yeah.
Children are not inhibited.
Uninhibited.
Innocent.
Wonder.
Magic is possible.
What?
Magic is possible.
Magic is possible.
Need of dependence.
Trust.
Trust.
The other night when we were reciting the Lord's Prayer together, I heard a voice speaking just a little louder than others, and it was Eric, and I opened my eyes and looked at him. Now I want to give the word adoration, because he was saying the Lord's Prayer, looking up to Jesus. You could just tell in pure adoration. It was one of the most beautiful sights I've seen here.
Okay. Anything else?
Love.
Anything else come to mind?
I think I wanted to expand on it. I said that they're dependent, but the dependency grows into independence.
Okay.
Sometimes earlier than we're ready. It's always
like about age two or something.
Yeah.
They're imaginative.
Imaginative.
Okay.
And I'm playful with them.
Huh? Playful.
Energetic.
There you go. You would say that for sure. Well, let's see if you got all the things on your list that Jean Gill had on hers. She has a whole section on openness, and I think that that's connected with some of the things that you have up there, the sense of wonder and awe, the kind of delight at surprises, curiosity, that kind of openness. I remember a few years ago we had a deaconess student who had a four-year-old child. She was a single mother, and so she often brought Katie with her to our deaconess student activities, and we had a retreat the first weekend of school for the deaconess students, and I wanted to give Janet some reflection time alone, so I needed to go to a block down to the drugstore, so I asked Katie if she wanted to go with me, and it took us 20 minutes to take that walk because she had to stop and admire every flower, every ant on the sidewalk, everything that she had never seen before, and to just be curious about it and to have that sense of delight and wonder. The sense of adventure, part of that openness, exploring new territory, and that desire to learn, that just a child, Amanda just cannot help herself. She's learning to say at least one syllable of chipmunk. So that openness. You have trust, dependence, faith. That's an aspect that we usually talk about, isn't it? When we look at children and talk about spirituality or things that we can learn from children. I think we focus a lot on that trust and dependence, but again, to watch that and to watch how Amanda yesterday, a couple of days ago, we were playing at the playground, and how she had complete trust in Stephanie to come down the slide into her arms. She didn't trust me quite so much, but her mother she could trust with complete abandon. That playfulness, that combination of carefree abandon and ability to be totally absorbed in something, that a child who is paying attention to something probably will not hear you call their name, can tune out so much that is going on around them. That is much harder for us as adults probably to do that, to be absorbed in the present moment, in our playfulness, to be so taken with what we're doing that the rest of the world doesn't even seem to exist at that moment. And then that very much that carefree abandon that probably Melissa felt last night when she was dancing and performing at the variety show. That, again, most of us adults have become a little too sophisticated to do that, particularly in front of other people, but maybe even when we're alone. Something that I don't think we have up there that Jean Gill has in her book is growth. That children just grow at when the time is right and in the way that is appropriate for them. And I think if you, those of you who have been around small children, maybe someone who's learning to walk or to crawl on all fours, that, well, what about that process? What happens? What goes on before it actually happens?
Falling.
Okay. But even before that?
They crawl,
okay? And then?
50 steps.
Yeah. Is there a kind of frustration or that, you know, I just can't move fast enough, I can't reach what I want to reach, I can't do what I want to do, and so there's a kind of readiness to learn.
Determination.
A determination. Okay.
Persistence. And the desire, I think.
Desire. And that awkwardness at first, that they fall down, take a risk, fall down, and then get up and try it again. And until it becomes integrated into their being and they can take off running. Well, think about that in terms of your own spiritual development. Did you ever think about some of the discomfort or frustration that you may feel or a dry time in your spiritual life that may be a sign that you're ready to learn something new? That the old way of doing it, that crawling is no longer enough. And that when you try that new activity, it may be very uncomfortable at first. And you might even make a fool of yourself once or twice, or feel foolish. And then to have a certain amount of persistence, and to keep trying it until it becomes an integrated part of the way it is that your spirit and God's spirit communicate. Okay, children are in touch with their feelings. That there's a kind of spontaneity, that they respond with their whole beings, they express themselves. We have that
theory. Well, the uninhibited kind.
Uninhibited, okay, there we go. Children are in touch with their bodies, that they use their bodies to express themselves. You're nodding your head, Stephanie. You want to say something about that?
No, I just think in contrast to myself and other adults, I think children are more in touch with their bodies. Uh-huh. Are unafraid to express themselves through their bodies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. They're exploring.
Right.
Well, pardon me? They're exploring. Right.
Exploring.
Yeah, they're figuring out what it means to have a body.
And in some of these, just in passing, talked about the kind of, yesterday or the day before yesterday, or the day before that, whenever it was that we talked about prayer. Was anybody in that session? We just in passing talked about praying with our bodies. That certainly was not a part of my schooling in prayer as I was growing up, except maybe to fold my hands and bow my head, but certainly not to use my whole body as a way of expressing myself to God. Or paying attention to what my body is saying to me about what needs attention in my life.
When you're talking about exploring, I was thinking about my daughter and using her body or whatever, but part of that is finding out what works Okay, a tantrum doesn't work, but maybe if I turn that to do something funny, then mom will lighten up or whatever. So part of the exploring is to find out what works.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good. Okay, let's see what else. There's one more page here. Okay, and we have creativity and imagination. Let's see other things that you've got on your list. So you probably don't need to read this book. And I think it might even be out of print, I'm not sure.
What's that? What?
Yeah. Oh, Amanda's really learning to talk a lot this week, I think. And she's learning to talk to me. When I come back, she can tell me what she's been doing the day. Yesterday I went hiking, and when we saw each other last night, she told me things that she had been doing today, right? In my real life, I don't work very much with children. I work with college-age people and older, and so it sort of is a delight here at Holden for me to be around children and to learn from them again and play with them. Because I think that playing and praying are very close together. And what I would like to do, and I think we have lots of time to do it, is to have a kind of playful, creative, imaginative activity. But before we do that, are there other things that come to your mind about children or things that you'd like to say or ask?
Quite recently I have become an aunt, so the magic and the mystery of having a little one in my life has just been wonderful, and that has opened up for me to look at my spirituality. Mm-hmm. So it's been a joy.
Great. Maybe we should take a look at what we had on the list that Jean Gill didn't have. Well, unscheduled, I suppose, is part of that spontaneity. The magic is possible. That's it. I mean, that maybe is related to trust and faith, but as adults, we probably sometimes get locked into only certain things are possible. And that part of our relationship with God is to understand that with God, there is more than we can imagine is possible.
I don't see imagination up there. Where do we have
it? It's getting close to the end of the summer at Holden. Marky's doing very well.
With a real single, you know, with a single child in a family, you know, we have two now, but they're 13 years apart. I mean, she can just sit there and... She was playing on the bedpost today. The foot of the bed has a rung, and she was talking and moving her hands and moving it aside and saying something back and forth. And she did that for kind of like 5 minutes, just in her own world, just imagining things. If an adult was doing that, you'd be wondering. So what's up?
We're just more clever at how we hide it.
Yeah, that's right. We hide a lot.
We might write fiction, or compose a piece of music, or draw, or read.
I think it came out, but the vulnerability, you know.
I don't think that is there, is it?
It kind of undergirds. I know for me, in this last year, I've taken on a new job, and for me, I was, you know, so much of it was a very spiritual thing because I felt I needed to be very professional. And yet, I think part of who I am is more, you know, being vulnerable and making mistakes and being playful and feeling like I couldn't be any of that. You know, I had to be very professional, right? So part of what I feel was happened to me in the last year was kind of a, you know, it's okay to be that. And it was very hard because to be professional, I think, is, you know, they're kind of oppose each other in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a little book that I read many years ago by H.A. Williams, who's not a relative of mine, but an English, a member of a community, religious community in England, an Anglican priest, wrote a little book called The Simplicity of Prayer. And he talked about how as we age, we become more sophisticated and we begin to put forward that front which we think we need to, not only to other people, but also to God. And that part of what happens then in our prayer is that we end up not being who we really are, but being this kind of facade. And that children don't know that yet. And I have a deaconess friend who as her children were growing up, would regularly tell me stories. And one of the ones she told was her son at the table prayer was saying, "Thank you for this wonderful meal, God. Thank you for the mashed potatoes and the gravy, but not the zucchini." And that kind of honesty and kind of vulnerability, you know, to make mistakes, to say the wrong thing, to be the wrong way, that we lose the ability, the comfortability.
That prayer reminds me of when my daughter was in kindergarten, and she had been kind of a precocious child, thought she needed to read before she started school, and was really discouraged she couldn't read yet when she went to kindergarten. But by the end of the school year, she had started to read, and her bedtime prayers for several weeks in a row were, "Thank you, God, for letting me read."
Oh.
And I remember sort of being in awe of all the things that we accomplished that we never sort of go back and thank God for. And we sort of take it on that, this is what I did. But in fact, she was as simple as could be. She really knew that it was God that let her read, and it wasn't something like that.
Isn't that wonderful?
She had accomplished, so that was something. The other thing that was interesting is about three, I taught her the Lord's Prayer, because she'd done the Now I Lay Me for a long time, and she wanted a new prayer. And she always called it the new prayer. Can we pray the new prayer?
Mm-hmm.
And it changed the Lord's Prayer for me for a long time. Because I think, oh, this is the new prayer.
That's great.
That's wonderful. I have a grandson that when he comes over, he sits, him and his sister sit there at the piano and play on it and mopey around, you know, and he'll look up at his dad and he'll say, "Dad, you should make me take piano lessons."
Are there other stories of what you've learned from your children or your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews or friends? But that's wonderful, Beth. Thank you for helping me.
For letting me. I was taking care of a little Catholic girl for a while when her parents would come. She'd come stay with me, and she would say her prayers at night, and she always said, "God have mercy on the singers." She never said sinners.
Well, that's a prayer I should pray.
Lord's Prayer was really quite, it included a phrase, "I will be done." It's close.
"I will be done. Well, anything else comes to mind?
I was just thinking about, I don't know how it all fits, but in the last year, my daughter Christina, one of her preschool teacher died. And she had decided on her own to tack on her teacher's names at the back, you know, "God bless our family," and then "God bless," and all the teachers she had. And it was interesting because after Eleanor had died,
you know, he said, well, you know, you can keep her in there. You can, you know, she's with God now kind of thing. She still prays for Eleanor. And I just, you know, I don't know what that says to me, but just it's kind of interesting that for her, Eleanor still needs her prayers.
Well, she's had, I mean, in the Bible study, you were talking about the being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and she still knows that.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you one more story of something that I learned from children, and this is from the same family as the zucchini prayer. That little boy's sister, who was a couple of years older, when she was about, well, I'll tell you two stories of Annie Malang. The first one, no, this wasn't Annie, this was Marty. He had gone to preschool when he was three and had learned to put his jacket on. They lived in Minnesota and had learned to put his jacket on by laying it down on the floor and putting his arms in and putting it up over his head. And so, you know, spring and summer came and the next school year came around, and when it got to be winter, he did the same thing. He put his jacket down and put it on. He remembered what he said to his mom. Wasn't that a tadadder? She said, a what? She said, wasn't that a tadadder? Just couldn't figure out what he was getting at until he finally says, you know, when you do something really great and you go, ta-da.
My grandson, his name is Nathan, he had a sister, Hillary, and when they were going to Sunday school, they were in this little couch, you know, and when he got home, his mom said, oh, what did you do at Sunday school today? And he said, we were shooting Hillary. Why are you shooting Hillary? And he said, they were doing that. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery.
Well, one more story from Marty's older sister, Ann, who, when she was just about three or four, came to her mother at Christmas Eve and said, Mom, I have something silly and something serious to tell you. She said, the serious thing is that God holds the whole world in God's hands. And the silly thing is, at Christmas, we get to hold God in our hands.
There's wonder. Magic is possible.
Imagination. Magic is possible. Well, are you ready to be playful and creative and imaginative? Well,
the pressure is off. Be very professional in this, folks.
Okay. We'll be graded.
This is not a contest. There will be no grades. This week, the theme at Holden, as part of practicing our faith, has been honoring the body. And the children at Narnia this week spent some time with baptism. Did any of you have children in Narnia hear something about that? What did the kids do? What did you hear?
Melissa's class went to the log pond and baptized each other.
Huh?
You know, turned to the next child behind them and
put the sign of the cross on them with water.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. My son, they also took a walk to the river. I don't know if they're in the same group, but they talked about their baptism.
Okay, anything else that your children did?
Well, they traced their bodies on a big piece of paper.
Okay, they did that as part of the honoring body.
Yeah.
That was done the first day.
What I'd like to ask you to do is, first of all, we'll do a little prayer, kind of coming to quiet. And then I will put some music on, or a tape on, it's not all music. And I would like you at that, or invite you at that point to come to the table here and to select some materials and to do something that is a prayerful expression. And you might, if you like, think of yourself as a child of a certain age. You want to be a 3-year-old this morning for a little while, or a 10-year-old. If that helps, I mean, you can be yourself, whatever age you are too, but if you want to do that and to kind of against the backdrop of baptism, but you know, it doesn't have to be baptism, whatever comes to you. And I would ask that you not talk during this exercise, and it will take probably about 15 minutes altogether to do this. So you don't have a long time to make a complicated project. But just something, it may be as simple as taking crayons and making colors and shapes that say something to you about baptism, being in the presence of God's love, or what your a prayer of thanks for your experience here if you're about to leave, or a prayer of anticipation. But something that's a prayerful expression of something that's in you. If you prefer to use words, that's okay, or choreograph a dance or something, that's okay. But just let yourself kind of be playful and vulnerable and foolish and creative and imaginative. So I would like to, first of all, just invite you into a prayer of coming to quiet. So just quiet yourself. And when I did this with the children in Narnia this week, I suggested that they kind of imagine themselves like a rag doll. Just relax your body. Conscious of God's presence with you and in you. And just rest in that presence. Remember baptism, yours or someone else's. Materials on the table and use the table as the floor or whatever.
you can sort of find a way to take a break if you can't finish what you're doing in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Gluten on it, it's always nice.
Well, all of that was music that had something to do with water. That class was James Galway's song. You're not all finished with your projects, but you can just keep working on them if you want to. At first I thought we would just talk about them in small groups, but I kind of like to do it all together because then I don't care what everyone has to say. I'm wondering if anyone would like to say something about that experience. Were you able to get into the mode of playfulness, creativity, and if you want to share what you did, that would be great.
Well, to me, I mean, the mountains are beautiful, but the water, the river, mm-hmm. we're leaving today, but the river running through Walden, without that river, it wouldn't be the same. And I don't know how you do a baptism at your church, but the pastor always has this picture of water that, I mean, if you had your eyes closed, you knew what was going on, because he raises up and makes noise, you know, with the water, and I always think that's a special feeling for the water. And everything starts with the water, and you know, the water's important. That's not.
Thank you.
Well, I've been baptized twice in a river,
once, after my mother died, when I was just 5 days after I was eight, I was back at the Chilano River in Texas, and my daddy went down with me then to hold my hand, because it was a little bit treacherous. And I remember what, I felt loved and I felt trusted in my dad. But 2 years ago, I went to Israel and I decided I want to be baptized in the River Jordan. And the River Jordan was this color. It was green. It was really green because there were trees on both sides, you can see. Purely green. And that time I just came up with, felt like my heart was just, I was full of love. I was clean and I was full of love. So that's why you have a big heart.
I thought of being a kid, and the simplest thing I could think of that a kid would think prayer is communication with God. So I made a telephone.
Being playful and creative is really not me. I really struggle with that. But I really have enjoyed Barbara Rossing's Bible studies and her theme of the braided river. So this is my braided river. These are raindrops. All of these remind me of water. Well, they are all water, but it's very, brings back memories, so it brings my baptism back to me. Although I can't, you know, I can't remember the day I was baptized at all. But this is very meaningful, means baptism.
She was doing and trying to imitate her, but I didn't do quite as well as she did with circles. I think I didn't know how to hold it quite right. And then the water, there was something that sounded like water coming down, and so I started doing that, and then waves, and I started doing that. And it occurred to me that God's love is always coming down to me as rain, and on the mountaintops and the valleys, whatever is going on in my life, that love is constant. And as part of that, there's always an ebb and flow, that there are waves and changes, that nothing stays the same except that constant flow. And I like to do this kind of exercise because I can just have fun with it. It doesn't have to mean anything. It can just be clear.
Well, it's kind of a step into mine. I'm a teacher and a parent as well. I've been an educator longer than I've been a parent. But I, in thinking of the theme of water and baptism and color selection, I came up with one of the first things that kids like to draw, which are rainbows. Mm-hmm. And the color selection is not scientifically correct, which is true with children. And after my daughter, everybody likes to have their different ranges of pinks, which goes with yours. And now my daughter is on the brink of being a teenager, and so our pinks are traded up and trading me for blues. But it's nice because after the rain, hopefully we'll have a beautiful rainbow. So that was my choice.
I've been sort of inspired by the mountains, which I keep looking at around here. You think there's a resemblance between this and Copper Basin? There probably is. But basically, the wonder of the water, which both forms the mountains out of what must have once been solid rock up there, and then also the miraculous way that, you know, it hasn't rained for maybe a month here, but there's still a plentiful flow of water coming out of there, serving the electric plant and our water supply and everything else that just happens that way. And it turns out to be exactly what we need to survive.
Mine's a fish jumping out of the water. And ever since I've been a little boy, and I am still sort of a little boy, I love fishing, and I joke with it. Actually, it's not a joke. It's a very spiritual thing for me to go fishing, because it's an excuse to get into the water. I think we're all drawn to the water in one way or another. And it's so alive. There's so much stuff going on if you pay attention. To me, it's sort of a way of God speaking to you. If you listen, pay attention to the water around you. Look at the bugs and the trees and the birds. And there's so much going on. It's so alive. And yet, if you're not paying attention, you'll miss it.
Remind people to pay attention. Anyone else?
I'm sure this, when you mentioned we were going to do this, the first thing that came to my mind was a passage that was read earlier in the week that really kind of touched me, because I've heard that passage before. It's from Isaiah, something about God taking away our heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. And so it's kind of like that. When we grow up, our hearts get kind of stony. And it's going through a process where God, I think, is giving me a heart of flesh again. And so on the front, I just have a dark heart with water baptism going on it. Inside is from our flesh.
Well, since my introvert cousin.
My extrovert wife.
And it's hard for me. Being here is really painful, because I'm such an extrovert. I want to know everybody. And I want to, know your stories and get to know you and all that. And so part of coming to Holden for me is to relax and say, there's not a chance. And so for me, the green in my weaving is Christ going to each of you. Okay, and you're all woven to Christ, which is the center, and I'm the lavender, and I'll get to know a few, and our connectedness in the community by virtue of our baptism. Does anyone else wish to share?
Well, since we're on yard, I'm still just about finishing up. I realized I can't remember how to do macrame anymore. I haven't done it for about 25 years. Did a couple false starts here and decided I had to do a simple braid because it's all I know anymore. But I picked three colors of yarn. The purple's my mother's favorite color, the blue's my daughter's, and the green's mine. And since we thought of children, Satya decided to think about how our lives are braided together and picking the thing inside the family. And actually, at this point, both my mother and daughter have tremendous needs and are in tremendous crises. So it's just sort of how we're all together, despite losses.
Can you go over there?
She's not required, Betty.
In our church, we're baptized into a community of believers. I mean, we're not very diverse. I certainly felt the community here too. We're, coming here and sharing stories amongst ourselves as Mansfield, our community, reaches out across the nation.
Anyone else? Well, I'm not a good artist, but anyway, mine is on baptism, and our third child of the fourth was baptized in Minneapolis at Wood Lake Lutheran Church. And I'll never forget the Sunday we came and Pastor Rumsted was ready to baptize, no water in the baptism pond. So the usher quickly went out and we waited a few minutes and we were back, and so he did get baptized. On baptism.
And you got to hear the water being poured.
Right.
Yeah, I'll show you what I did, but it didn't get done. Oh, well. It's kind of frustrating in that group. And I always tackle something that's a little more difficult than I should for a situation like this. Anyway, that's the bell descending on, this is supposed to represent the baptismal fonts. Simple symbols that I keep before me when I see baptism.
Very nice.
I thank you all very much. This has been fun for me, and I'm going to plug this book one last time. It's not about what we've been doing this morning, except it is. It's a book called by Marjorie Thompson called Soul Peace. It's one of the best books that I've read recently, just as kind of a primer on spirituality and spiritual disciplines. I think I've read the book, worked through it myself alone. There are exercises in it. It would also, I think, be a wonderful book for a group to use together and to talk about. So there are still a few copies in the library, not the library, the bookstore, if you'd like to get one. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.